evenings, if you haven't paid attention to the sermons, I think it was from Paul Bido and Ray, the afternoon sermons, they've actually touched on the subject of soul winning or reaching out to the lost. And that's what I'll be speaking about this evening, a message I've called Soul Winning 101, if you like. Soul Winning 101. And it's interesting, I was looking for a scripture to use as a base and as a foundation. And of course, when it comes to outreaching and witnessing, there's so many verses in the Bible. And usually I felt Psalm 51 to be the one that covers everything that I wanted to really kind of touch on this evening. So Psalm 51, but I'll be focusing primarily on verse 12 and 13. And it reads, Psalm 51, 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you." So winning 101. I'm sure you're very familiar with Psalm 51. This is a repentant prayer of David just not long after he committed adultery and murder. In that fact, Nathan the prophet approaches David and confronts him. You can find the full story in 2 Samuel 11. David committed this horrible, wicked sin, and Nathan confronts him by giving him an analogy, a story. And in the end, David was feeling obviously the condemned, obviously the bad and guilty. So he pens for us Psalms 51. And we must understand that there's a lot from his repentance prayer. There's a lot in there to grasp, and I'm not going to touch, obviously, not on everything because of time. But again, the first thing he says in verse 12 is, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Restore to me the joy of your salvation. So if we are going to be involved in any type of outreaching, witnessing, one-to-one witnessing, group outreaching, whatever it may be, if we are going to be involved, if we're going to do that, the best is going to have to be that we must be confident in God ourselves. We have to be joyful in God ourselves. And this is what David is talking about here. "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." Something was missing in his life, and he knew that. He needed back that joy. He needed back that presence of God, if you like, that gave him the confidence to speak about God. So if we are going to be involved in any sort of evangelism, we must be joyful. He must be our delight. When you are happy about something, when you are excited about something, it's very easy to talk about it. And David understood this principle. Hence he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You know, when you buy something new or you have a good deal, whether it's from the shop or online, it's easy to tell somebody. You go to this webpage or go to that shop, and you find they've got the best deals and they've got the best suits. You know, women deal all the time. "Oh, I've got my pair of shoes from here, from there." It's easy to talk about it because you've got a good deal and you're happy with it. Now, I'm not going to tell you where I bought my car from, but that's not a good deal. But normally and generally, it's easy to talk about it. And hence, when it comes to the kingdom of God, we tend to be shy. We tend to hesitate. When God is doing so much in our lives and so much for us, there's a hesitation to speak about his goodness. we hesitate. We are not sure if it's going to cause offense. We are shy, perhaps, that we might look silly or sound stupid. But you see, David always glorified God in his conversations. Do you remember before he fought the giant, he spoke to his brothers. He said, "The Lord delivered me from the hands of a bear. The Lord delivered me from the hands of a lion." It's easy to speak about what's good in your life. And this was natural for David. To glorify God. To speak about God. Because God was doing things in his life. And so, we should be rejoicing in God and having confidence in our God, so that it's easier for us to speak about his goodness. However, now because he's feeling condemned and guilty, it's difficult for him to be a witness. And so he prays, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Feeling guilt, feeling condemned, feeling doubt. These are things that hinder motivation to tell someone about Christ. Because you yourself are standing there and you're thinking, "Well, I'm the same as you." Or you're feeling bad, or you're feeling guilt and condemned, and it's not easy. But we can also pray, "Restore unto me the joy of your salvation." So some people it's because of guilt, some people because of doubt, some people it's because of condemnation. Some people say, "Well, I'm ill-equipped. I don't know the scriptures. I don't know anything about God. How can I talk about God?" We will look at that a bit later. Jesus said in Luke 7:47, don't turn there. "Therefore I tell you, how many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Now, I don't want to take this out of context too much. But the truth here is, again, the more one appreciates and truly understands what God has done for them, the easier it is to speak about the mercies of God. "But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." David had a lot to thank God for. He had a lot to thank God for. From a boy, when he was just looking after sheep, to being a king. He was just a little boy. No dreams of being a king, but God took him from the field and made him a king. So he had plenty to thank God for. As easy as it is for me. If it wasn't for God, I personally know I would be dead or in jail. And I can tell you that because of the life I used to live before I met Christ. But when I came to Christ, things changed. People I know in jail, some of them died because of the lifestyle we are living. So for me, easy to speak about God. But please, don't get me wrong here. These are motivation factors I'm just talking about. They're just motivating factors. I'm not saying because you are not witnessing or because you're not outreaching doesn't mean you love God less. No. These are just motivating factors to make it simpler. David lost his motivation. He lost it. Hence he prays, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners would turn back to you." So the other balance here is, I'm not talking about overjoy, overplayed joy. We had a sister in church years back. And every morning we speak to her, everything was, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord." You know, you come in and it's "Praise the Lord," you know. my car's broken down. Praise the Lord, you've got legs to walk. Praise the Lord, you know. And the next day, oh, curse God and die. This is happening. So I'm not talking about overexcited and that kind of overjoy here. But I'm talking about a genuine joy and delight in God. A genuine delight and contending in Christ. One of the things that actually attracted us to sticking to Providence when we first came here, it was simply because we recognized the genuineness that people had towards God, the genuine love for the things of God, the genuine love for the Word of God and for being in service. I remember when we first, actually from our first service, we got in a car and I said to Melina, you know, when I get old, no offense here, but when I get old, when I get old, I still want to do what these guys are doing. Still preaching, still giving, still coming to prayer, still coming to Bible studies. And that's what attracted us. I loved it. That they genuinely love God. And this is what David was missing, that genuineness, love for God. And he says, Lord, restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I have seen too many people simply drift away from the cross and the love of God simply because they have lost their joy. Psalms 32:11, rejoice in the Lord and be glad. Psalms 15:11, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Soul winning starts with us being satisfied in Christ. That's the foundation. When you are satisfied in Christ, when you are contained in Jesus, that's the foundation of soul winning. It comes from you out to others. So my second point is a willing spirit. I think we've got that on PowerPoint there, a willing spirit. David says, grant me a willing spirit. So what does this really mean? What does he mean by this? Grant me a willing spirit. Because some translations, they have a free spirit. However, this is pointing to the same idea. A spirit that is free and willing to serve and obey God without dispute. God must have been telling David, David, do not go there. Do not look over there. Do not do that. Do not plan that. But instead, his flesh spoke louder than the Spirit of God. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from the presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of the salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. We must have a willing spirit, because sometimes the word of God is clear. Do not do that. Do not go there. Do not watch that. Don't say that. Cool your anger. Go here. But oh, are we willing? God might be asking, speak to this individual. Ring up this individual. Encourage the brother at church or encourage this person. The part of soul winning is being willing. Being willing to obey God. And so, however, some of these principles apply to those who we are trying to reach out to. Because we can have the gift of explaining the scriptures, we can have the gift of understanding the Bible and the intellect of speaking and persuasion, but unless God touches the individual, nothing is going to happen. Unless God softens their hearts, opens their eyes, and gives them a willing spirit to obey Him, nothing is going to happen. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8. For by grace have you been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So salvation is a gift from God, and we ought to remember that in soul winning missions, if you like, in the soul winning quest, if we're trying to reach to people. Because sometimes you can batter yourself over the head. You're praying for one individual to get saved, and you're always witnessing the same person, and they're not coming to light, or they're not understanding, or they're not hearing, or they're not logically even looking at the Word of God. Unless the Spirit of God does something in their heart, nothing is going to happen. I remember there was a guy at work. Me and him got very close, because from day one, I started witnessing to him, and he would love to hear it, literally. And he would bring in material, saying, look, I have this, because he claimed to be an atheist. So he would bring in material, show me things, and I'll bring in material, show him things, and we would speak about it break after break, lunch after lunch. And one day, I was having the victory, if you like. We're talking, and I'm answering his questions. I felt on fire. I'm like, yes, and God did this, and your sins are can be forgiven. All you have to do is believe, yes, yes, and we're getting excited. And at the end, I'm like, yeah, he's eating it. He's looking positive. And he turned to me and he says, everything he's saying is so true. And I agree. But I just don't believe. I just don't. It's just, and he even said, I want to believe like you. I can see you are so excited, but Chandi, I just don't. You see, unless God does something in their heart, unless God gives them that willing spirit to hear Him, that spirit to break them or to humble them, they will not hear it. And so we ought to be praying for those who we are trying to reach out to, that God would open their eyes and give them faith. That God would do something in their hearts. And yes, we still have to pray, God, give me the right word. We still have to pray, God, use me. Let me be in the right place at the right time. Let me say the right things. Let me understand the word so I can explain it properly. We still have to do our bit. But unless God touches them, nothing will happen. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, giving them baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There are some out there, especially the hyper-Calvinism, who say, because it's God that says, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to reach out, we don't have to go out, we don't have to speak to our neighbor, we don't have to speak to the guy at work, we don't have to do anything because He will do it. Somehow He will do it. And that's wrong. The Bible says, go then and make disciples of all nations, giving them baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God commands us to go out and proclaim His gospel. This is a Christian duty. We are not to be passive and think it just happens. No, we purposely or deliberately look for opportunities to spread His word. If we don't speak to people about Christ, who will? How will they know Him? How can they be saved? Romans 10:14 compels us to share the good news with others. How then shall they call upon Him into whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe into Him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without one who proclaims Him? If someone had not spoken to us about the Lord Jesus, where would we be today? In the same way, we must witness to others about our Savior. People can't call upon the Lord to receive His salvation if they don't hear about Him. They're not. Romans 10:15, that's why it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the news of good things. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is not passive. This is not, well, God is going to save people. We don't have to do anything. He's got everything planned. Yes, He has got everything planned. And yes, He will save His people. But He has always used people as a method. We are His people. We are His vessels. We are His mouth, His ears, His eyes, His hands, if you like. And we ought to be ready. In season or out season, Peter tells us. And that is witnessing. That is the heart of soul winning 101. To give an answer for why we believe what we believe. For why you believe in God. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing from the moment God opened Paul's eyes, he was out and about everywhere he went, seeking opportunities to speak to somebody about the love of Christ. Psalms 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those He redeemed from the hand of the foe. There's other translations that I like. It says, are you redeemed? Tell your story. And that is witnessing. The telling your story. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And finally, as I quickly just skimming through things, the final point is the Lord is the sustainer. The word sustainer is the Latin word where we get the English words sustain, support, withstand, and uphold. Psalm 51 verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So the Lord is our sustainer. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back. So David has requested for a restored joy, then a willing spirit, so he can do what pleases God. But he also asked that the Spirit of God should sustain him. Simply because he does not want to go back to that place of sorrow. He does not want to go back to that place of sin. And instead he wants to be kept or upheld or sustained. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. Because the Christian life is for life. It's not just for a month, a week, or 2 days, or when things are better, you go back to how you want to live without God. The Christian life is for life. When I first got saved, I was running 100 miles per hour, simply because I thought, 6 months down the line, somebody's going to say, well done, you've done enough, thank you, here's your certificate, carry on as you're living. That was my idea. But as I grew in faith, I realized God has saved me for life. Christianity is a way of life. It's not something we just do on a Sunday or Tuesday, or, but it's life. And David understood this. And so when he prays, he says, Lord, give me a willing spirit so he can sustain me. Acts chapter 17, 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your prayers have said, we are his offspring. So God will keep and look after his offspring. Yes, we ought to look after new converts, those who are babes in Christ, but ultimately God will look after his people. God will look after his people. And that's something we need to remember when we are witnessing or outreaching. Sometimes people can come to us with problems and we think, maybe church is not good enough for you, or maybe this is not going to work for you. No. Because God looks after his people. And we can be confident that he will. Psalms 54 verse 4, surely God is my helper, the Lord is the sustainer of my soul. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. First Corinthians 1:8, he will sustain you to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who comes to Christ becomes a child of God, and God will look after his offspring. And we can have confidence in that when we are witnessing, when we are trying to reach somebody, that God will look after them. So I've quickly just skimmed over many points and hope that one day we'll do the actual sermon. But today, just quickly, that's where I'll be ending. We will sing our final hymn.